621 1320 WILS. So tomorrow, former FBI Director James Comey will testify in front of a U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee, or the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee. Let's get some thoughts from John Legato. He's a former deep cover FBI agent, author of the new book, The Near Enemy, a John Booker thriller. And he's also a Vietnam veteran. John, thank you for joining us on WILS.
It's a pleasure. You're in Michigan, huh?
We are. Yeah, I know your book, and I want to get to it because it talks about a potential terrorist attack on a Ohio State football game. Right? That's a scary. Have you been to Michigan yourself, or
have I what?
Have you been to Michigan yourself?
Yeah. I retired out of Cleveland, and it's the attack in the book was written about a year and a half ago, and since that time, they've had a terrorist, a lone wolf attack on Ohio State campus.
Let me ask you, I guess, about, let's start with that. Because we have Spartan Stadium here. Tens of thousands of people come to East Lansing for games. How vulnerable would you say our stadiums are right now?
The soft target. It's very vulnerable. I mean, if we don't correct the problem in Europe and the U.S., we're going to have, like, checkpoints on the highway, barbed wire around schools, and empty stadiums. I mean, it's going to get to that point because, you know, these things are, it's almost like every week there's one or two now.
We have not seen a terrorist attack on a stadium yet. Why is that?
Why is that?
Go ahead.
They have decent, I was a director of security for an international children's game in Cleveland, which was the same size and scope as the Salt Lake City Olympics. So I had like 2,500 athletes. President Bush came. You could only do so much. I mean, if somebody, especially somebody that is a religious fanatic, mm-hmm. if they're willing to give their life, there's nothing you can do. For example, at the concert, they didn't get into the concert because they had good security,
okay. But
they blew up right outside. So really, there's nothing you can do to prevent it. And the whole idea that law enforcement is to blame every time one of these things happen, and they say we had the intelligence on this guy, like the Manchester bombing, mm-hmm. is ridiculous. I mean, we can't do what we want to do because we're restricted, you know, in the United States by a constitution.
Right. And look, we have so many games, too. You take it any Saturday or Sunday, right? The football games across the country. Do you feel our security procedures have kept attacks from occurring to this point, at least?
They're better at the stadiums. I mean, they won't allow you to bring in, you know, they check your bags and all that. But mm-hmm. in the book, the guy blew the Ohio State spring football game up with a truck right at the front door. I mean, so it's, you really don't, you just like airports, you're going to have to keep moving the safety perimeter out.
Mm-hmm.
And
so in your book, he drives a truck into the stadium, essentially?
Yeah. Now, my book's fiction, but I'd say about both my books, I did a book 2 years ago about Dirty Boys, and about four things in that book came to pass. For example, I put in there that the terrorist would kill a Supreme Court justice to tilt the court to the left and thus give more favorable decisions to radical anti-crime.
Okay.
Three things happened. In Dirty Boys, it's already the Ohio State happened. But we can mitigate lone wolf attacks. Right. We really can mitigate them.
Here's what I'm curious about. So in the book, it's a fiction book, you have this attack right in the stadium, a truck bomb, and it kills with tens of thousands. Is this something the FBI, do they consider this scenario in reality?
They consider every scenario. They really do. I mean, when I was with the Bureau, any time we had, you know, large events like that, we would be instructed to query our informants and try to find out what's going on in the scuttlebutt. And that's another thing, our intel. We're restricted with our intel with these lone wolf terrorists. Our hands are tied in a lot of ways.
I mean, tell me this, John. So if we do see an attack of this kind that you described, what would happen procedure-wise if we're trying to get to football games at that point?
If you had the attack and tried to get to the football?
If an attack occurred, how would they change procedures? Because obviously, you know, you get tens of thousands of people streaming into a stadium in a short amount of time. How would procedures change, you think, if we saw a serious attack?
Well, I had to do that with this children's game. I mean, 100,000 people at the events and the openings, and I had metal detectors. But you can't have, you know, 100,000 people going through the metal detector because your lines would be backed up. So we profiled. We looked at people. If you had a bag, you had to go through. If you, you know, whatever the profile is, you know, let's be honest here. Yeah, we profile. We profile based on who is attacking us, and we got to hurt some feelings. I mean, I'm retired now, and you know, I can say this stuff. We need to start hurting some feelings. I don't know if you know what goes on in Israel, but in Israel, if you live with a terrorist, if somebody commits a terrorist act, you live with him, you go to school with him, you call him all the time, they just go and kick you out of the country. Right. And I'm not saying we should do that, but we're going to have to hurt some feelings now.
You're talking about target profiling young Middle Eastern men, essentially, as potential suspects?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the data shows that's the main aggressor.
And you think this country would allow, I mean, would be willing to do such a thing?
You know what? They're going to do such a thing when the body count gets high enough. And, you know, we just have such a short memory after every attack. I mean, I can remember after 9/11, I was on a joint terrorism task force, and they instituted security things at the courthouse. Mm-hmm. And then about a year later, people would be coming in, and instead of going through the, you know, the magnetometers, they'd say, you know me. Mm-hmm. And they start walking around, and it just gets lax. I mean, right. But I think that we're on the verge of a continuous attacks in Europe and in the U.S.
On the verge of continuous attacks. What makes you say that?
Well, based on the chatter and the intel that's going through, mm-hmm. and the fact that if ISIS lose Raqqa, that's their last resort. They said that. They have said that if we lose the, you know, any part of the homeland, then the next phase is lone wolf terrorists. And you've seen an increase. My God, England had 3 in the past, 6 weeks or something.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, it's something that they're not able to stop in Europe, right? Would you say our intelligence is better than what Europe is dealing with? Or?
I worked with MI5 and MI6 for a long time. They're as good as it gets. But I think that we're restricted. We give individuals in the United States and in England, and they don't have a constitution, but in America, we give non-citizens constitutional Fourth Amendment rights like search and seizure, just because we're politically correct. Mm-hmm. So there's officers can't do anything without probable cause.
And you think that'll change, is that it?
Yes, it will change. It will change. When the body count gets high enough, it'll change.
It's John Legato. He is a former deep cover FBI special agent, author of the new book, The Near Enemy, a John Booker thriller. And, we obviously didn't get to James Comey, John, but we'll have you on again to talk some more. Great having you on WILS. Thanks.
Yeah. Listen, and just one last thing about the book. It does list the 6-7 things how we could mitigate lone wolf terrorism by 90%. It's in the book, The Near Enemy.
The book is The Near Enemy. John Legato. Right here on WILS. Thank you, John.
You're welcome. Thank you.
It is 6:30. When we come back, everything you've heard about salt is an absolute myth. That's what my next guest will say. And he is actually one of the leading cardiovascular research scientists in the country. He'll explain why and why we actually need more salt in our bodies rather than less to avoid chronic illnesses. That is next right here on 1320 WILS.